honors his word. That's what I want to do. I want to honor him and honor people. And maybe the Lord would save some sinners. I often pray at our place that the Lord would bring some more lepers in that house of leprosy that's in Jackson, Missouri. There's a few gathered there that honor and worship him in spirit and truth. Turn with me if you would. Again, thanks for the invite and thanks for the hospitality. The breakfast was exceptional and the company was better. Really enjoyed ourselves tremendously. Romans chapter 5. We'll see how this goes. Romans chapter 5. I'm going to read just a couple of verses, starting in verse 19 through the end of the chapter. I want to look at a phrase that Paul uttered under inspiration of God. So it's not open for debate. Never is. We like to tweak things or think we tweak things, but I just always, when I start hearing this stuff, I always wonder, do you think, first of all, do you believe God is sovereign? If God is sovereign, as we say he is, do you think he would allow puny man to mess around with his word? Case closed. If he does, then we are of all men most miserable. And just pack it up and let's just shut down, close the doors. But that's not the case. In verse 19 of Romans 5, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, that's the offense, might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. This phrase, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I suppose if I were to state or summarize what the child of redemption believes, looking back at his life, it's just like this. Seems like we're like Peter. We're in the boat, we're fine, and in a way, you know, we ask the Lord, can I come out there, walk on the water, and then everything's fine, and then get our eyes off Christ, and then we're sinking. Seems like that's my life, my concern, my way. I would say this would come pretty close to summarizing or stating what every believer, it doesn't matter the age, from back AD, 1 AD, 2 AD, to now, there's nothing new under the sun, the scripture says, and that's exactly right. We get all excited and worried about what's going on in this country, and just look back at history and read some books. Spurgeon and beyond, Flavel. Some of the things, if you catch when you're reading through some of their works, they had the same concerns. We were able to go to Spurgeon's library up in Kansas City, and they got, you know, almost all the works there. And he put out that little Sword and Trowel, that little booklet. And he was concerned, this is quoting, he was concerned that putting those little books out would cause people to quit attending church and hearing the Word of God. What, we got the internet, and we're thankful for the use that the Lord has of it. But it can be abused. But man has abused God's Word, God's ways, God's methods all the time. So where sin abounds, it doesn't stop there. Where sin abounded, that's you and I. Grace, oh, thank you, so grace. Grace did much more abound. May we here tonight look a bit closer at this amazing phrase that is uttered by our brother Paul. where sin abounded. This is our universal problem, our central issue, our sin-inherited nature, where sin abounded. This is our issue. When Adam fell, we fell, and it was total and complete and absolute, as we heard last night. And I know you've heard this because I heard it from the man that used to pastor here. And he heard it from somebody else. If you're wrong on the fall, you're wrong on it all. We think we can skip that and go directly to God. God's unapproachably holy. Matter of fact, I haven't looked this up, but I believe the attribute or characteristic of God in this book the most one often uses is holiness. From birth to our nature, which is shown up by our practice, we are sinners, estranged from God, condemned by his unalterable law. Paul says in Ephesians 2, we're dead in trespasses and sins. Like I said last night, I'm not complicated. Dead's dead. Dead is dead. My, oh my, sin abounding in us, through us. It sticks closer to us than our skin. And you know how everyone here knows how close that sticks to us. And sin's result, as in verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, that's the result. It's not going to miss anybody. It's not going to skip a generation. Sin's result is death. Physical and spiritual. Well, why is this so important? This is where we get a little bit more interesting. Why is it so important to declare the depravity of man, the sin, exceeding sinfulness of sin? Why is it so important to declare this in the gospel when we preach the gospel of God's grace? And there's only one gospel. Why is this so important? Think about this. There can be no grace where there's no guilt. This is what our brother said last night. There can be no mercy where there's no sin. No help in time of need where criminality is not owned up to. I'm not a criminal. I don't need mercy. I don't need grace. It is a misuse of words to talk about forgiveness where no wrong has occurred. The policeman doesn't give a ticket if you're abiding by the law. It is an insult to innocence to proclaim mercy to it. You must therefore have sin, or you cannot have grace. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I stop here and I ask myself and I ask you, if you and I see sin abounding, then perhaps we will see grace much more abounding. We've got to stay there. We've got to stop there. But look at our text. Our text doesn't stop there, and I'm so thankful for that. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. This, I trust, is noted, it's seen and experienced. In the whole scheme of this thing we call sovereign grace, in substitution, in salvation, justification, and righteousness. Mr. Spurgeon said this, sin is the wolf which has devoured the flocks of men. Isaiah chapter 1 and verses, starting in verse 5, why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. It's pretty serious. Sin abounds. That's even the littlest child knows what sin is. Sin is what we are. Sin is what we do. But, and yet, I look at verse 16 in Romans 5, and not as was by one that had that sin, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. The second Adam has repaired, and that much more than what the first Adam ruined. He by himself made restitution, and I'm talking about Christ, made restitution, and then some, for all the sins of all his elect throughout all time. Now I want to look at eight things. On this sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I want to look at these things, and let's look at these together. Grace did much more. Did much more abound. Notice with me, if you will, the whole aggregate from Adam until this shoot match is wrapped up. The whole aggregate of combined offenses of God's people were taken away. They were taken away, swiped clean by Christ's single act on Calvary's tree. We'll see that in Isaiah 53, which is that great chapter in the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Job, all. Now, I can't imagine. It's like when we pray and you got hundreds of thousands of the elect praying. He hears them all. But this sin, where sin abounded, we're still sinning. I remember talking to Henry years ago when he came down, first time he met him in the early 80s, and he said, there's enough sin in what I preach to send me to hell. And that just took me aback. And the more I thought about it, yeah. But where that happens, and it happens tomorrow, and the next day, the grace of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ far exceeds that. You sang that, didn't you, yesterday? The blood has reached deeper, deeper than the stain has gone. Oh, I'm so thankful, because if it didn't cover it all, none's covered. Not a single one is covered. My, oh my. Also, secondly, consider with me, sin has utterly destroyed humanity. In Psalm 65, verse 5, he says, my sins are not hid from thee. Sin utterly destroyed humanity. Adam could not eat of every, or he, yeah, could not have, he could eat of every fruit but one tree. Every fruit, every good thing that was given by God for life and sustenance and wholesomeness, but it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. Now we got death and return to the dust and earning the living by the sweat of our brow. Thorns, thistles, where tender herbs and gardens grew. All our faculties are out of gear. If you're a believer, you know why the world is the way it is. You know why things are going the way they are. You know why you can't do what you used to do a week ago. Sin. Sin. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound in our substitute, and only in our substitute. My, oh my, all of our faculties are out of gear, out of the way. They're inconsistent with our Creator. Yet, but in Christ Jesus, we have a higher reach, a nobler pursuit than even Adam or Eve. We have fellowship and union with the Son of God. We are indwelt by the blessed Holy Spirit. And as we saw last night, humanly, unbelievably, in Proverbs 8, his delights were with the sons of men. His delights were, well, why would they be? He could have just just wiped us out. Just wiped us out. We deserve it. Simply put, our paradise regained is far more glorious than our paradise lost. You think about that. Our paradise gained is far more glorious and more honorable than our paradise lost. This is what Augustine, for you historians, in 360 AD, this is what he was referring to when he stated in Latin, felix culpa. What does that mean? It means, oh, happy fall or blessed fault. Adam fell. If there was no fall, there's no redemption. That's what he meant when he wrote that. And I'm like, okay, I agree. Where did he get that? I don't know, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Thirdly, notice and consider with me, sin dishonored our God. But God is more honored in our redemption than if there had never been a fall. That's Mr. Spurgeon. God is more honored in our redemption than if there had never been a fall. The angels in glory wonder at this whole scheme to rescue fallen men and women and boys and girls. Principalities and powers, says the scriptures, shout glory to God in the highest, not only at Emmanuel's birth, but because they knew what lie ahead. They knew he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Yes, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Let's keep digging. Fourthly, man, the elect, now born again, is capable of virtues he perhaps could not have reached before the fall. Unparalleled joys. Unparalleled joys. Repentance. A righteous man does not need repentance. We could experience repentance. And with one another, forgiveness. One another. Conquering grace realized and experienced. Conquering, and we realize it's not of us. It's by his grace. And fifthly, after the fall, the law was given. There was no need for the law. Adam fell. The law is given later on. With this law, we see Christ Jesus. We're going through Deuteronomy right now. We're about at the end of Deuteronomy. Christ is everywhere. Well, that Deuteronomy, that's the second law is what the Hebrew. There's not a whole lot of law in there. If you see it through New Testament eyes, as Henry would say, that yes, indeed, we see Christ Jesus in the high priest, his office, the tabernacle, the showbread, the altar, and all these things. They are all types and shadows of good things to come. If there's no fall, we would not see that. But we can, and I love Old Testament. We can come, you know, look at this and see something, and tomorrow night I'm going to share a passage that I'd never seen before in my life, right in the middle of Deuteronomy. You're stuck right there, just one verse. The gospel in Deuteronomy, one verse. Before the fall, nothing. We wouldn't have had that. But after the fall, now we've got these pictures and types. Sixthly, also perceive with me the history of Israel. I know everybody's talking about that now. They're not talking about it correctly. The history of Israel through which we see types of the church's care all through the Old Testament. Up and down. He keeps keeping them. They keep forsaking them. In Judges, they raise up a judge. They follow him. They worship him. The judge dies. They go back to idolatry. He's keeping them. Where grace abounded, or where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. This we see when we see Israel's history, and we see special mercies and particular grace given to us poor derelict Gentiles, how we were grafted in. There would be no need to do that. Had been no fall. Grafted in because of their rejection. Oh, sin, says the apostle. Where's your sting? Seventhly, again, we mention the crucifixion of our King of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps the greatest display of sin and grace. Perhaps the greatest display in all history. However, grace raised its arms in complete victory. I know you sing it here. We sing it at home. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. Oh, happy day of our guaranteed resurrection honor. Why? Because the grave could not hold our Savior, and it will not hold us. It can't. Why? Because sin. We see sin's effect. Every time we go, I don't understand the modern day funerals. I don't have much nice to say about them. Celebration of life. The person is passed on. He's gone. They're gone. He or she's gone. They're gone. But to the believer, that sin took that body, and it's going to take every one of us. But grace. Grace will reign through righteousness. Not my righteousness, which is of the law, but His righteousness, which brings peace. Peace. I love peace, and I want hope, and I want a single eye to worship Him. Redeeming love indeed. Lastly, right now, tonight at 6:39, I ask this question myself, and I ask it all of us here. Where can we look to see grace abounding more than sin's side effects? Right now, where can we see? Where can we look? To the chief of sinners. Is there a sinner here? Is there a sinner here? That's where you will see. And I know we're not supposed to look at ourselves, and I know, but this is, it's okay. If you can confess and own up, Lord, I'm so miserable. I know what I was created for, but I want my way. I want my way. I want my things. I want myself. But Christ, He considered not Himself. He was equal with the Father. Took upon Himself no reputation. Paul, I had this argument with the guy, rehab. I was about done with rehab, and he was a day ahead of me. And he started getting religious. He started spouting off, and I'm trying to do my stuff and ignore him. So he wanted to get my phone number. Oh, we're, you know, good buddies. Okay. So we exchanged numbers, and then he starts telling me his gospel. And I said, no, that's not right. And I'm trying to get back to my exercise, you know. That's not right. That's not correct. He says, oh, I got a scripture for you. When I quote the scripture, you're going to change your mind. I said, no, I'm not. I know the scriptures. And he just completely rested and twisted the scripture. I said, what is Paul? Oh, Romans 7. No, he was lost then. Okay, we'll go to another. I am the chief. I am right now less than the least, of whom I am chief. I said, that's present. That's a present article. He's like, no. Nah. And then that was it. Just walked away. So I'm like, well, I guess I'm supposed to keep his phone number? No. That's where do we see grace abounding more than sin's effects? Right here. I'm not telling you to look in within, but I'm saying if God, the Holy Spirit, convicts you, you'll see. You'll see the things that I'm saying as clumsily and as poorly as I'm saying them is true. It's true. An old preacher said, and then the second is we look around others around us, your fellow believers, they're just like you. They're just like you. And I need patience, and I need to have less of a critical spirit. But if God, if you believe, I like to take things down to the lowest common denominator. If you believe the person you're talking to or you are dealing with, or if you believe they're a believer, that should dictate how you treat them on everything. So look to yourself and look up to others around you and say, where sin abounds. And you don't want to follow me around because you see sin abounding. And I'm not making excuses for it. And the believer sins far more than he wants to. We desire to live like Christ, love Christ, worship Christ, gather together in unison. You can't do that out in the world. It's here where we're gathered together. An old preacher said, since the Lord adopted me, I have no reservation of others. What about in the scriptures? How about a fallen David? How about a wayward Manasseh? How about a dying thief? But 1 minute, they both were casting the same in his teeth, and then the next minute, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. How about a miserable Saul of Tarsus, a lonely, sinful prodigal? Spent everything. I think I'd be rather aggravated. Give him everything, he spends everything. Sin, 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 wallowed with the pigs, sin and degradation, and nobody, there's the world for you if you're young and you don't know what the world's like. That's what the world's like. They don't care. They don't care. Well, there's sin. But in that story, he got started coming back, and when he was afar off, grace did much more abound. We see the vile and contemptible effects of sin upon us and all around us. But I tell you this, based on the authority of not me, but on this word of God, where sin abounded, grace. Grace, how sweet the sound. Grace did much more abound in and only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Flee to him for refuge. Beseech you. Thank you.